April 25, 2017, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Hey, Brother Matt, hey, how you doing?
Good. Welcome back.
It's probably our last show for the month, and maybe for the next month, because I'm on tour. I'm gone. It's hard for me to do these when, playing night after night. But I'm very excited. Our guest today, huh?
Yeah.
Hell ride down from downtown,
yeah,
LA.
Been a long while since you've been down here.
14 years.
In 1 month. 14 years in 1 month. People, welcome. Paul Ross.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Glad to be
A very special reason for having Paul. And I think it was with the second man, it was with Pete and Jerry, so it wasn't really your own show. And I can't even remember what we talked about except probably second opera stuff. Where you could relate with the second man,
yeah,
and the piece. But the reason I thought of it, what happened was Paul sent me a new piece he worked on.
Cool.
It's divided like into 5-6 parts. It's called the Galatia. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Galatia. And, yeah.
Well,
we played the first part, you, after hearing John Coltrane doing Fran Dance. Actually, that's John Coltrane with Miles Davis and something live. But before we get to that Galatia, let's go into your music. Can you remember your earliest music memory?
There's a lot of music in our house. On my mom's side, there was a lot of folk music, Peter, Paul, Mary, and Pete Seeger, and so I was getting a lot of like leftist propaganda. And then my dad was listening to Wagner and the classical music. So I remember being a little kid and listening to it, and I started getting...
The living room full of their music.
Yep, and then I remember I started getting piano lessons when I was 8 years old.
Eight.
And that was just like doing math for a long time, trying to get...
Whose idea was the piano?
You know, my parents, they wanted to...
Listeners, but they're not players, right?
They're not players, but I was a little bit of a science project for them. They were going to make me, like, fertilize me. And
Paul's firstborn, too.
Yeah, and firstborn of a firstborn of a firstborn, and I got one, too.
Alpha rock.
Yeah. So, they left it at they sort of like, you know, if you'd like to do it, if you practice, and you don't have to if you don't want to, but, you know that
they
would be disappointed if you didn't.
Was there one in the pad?
Yes, they got a piano, and I started taking piano lessons. But right around that time, my uncle gave me some rock and roll records, right around nine or ten. And he gave me the Beatles and the Band, that Band album that I still to this day listen to in
awe. Richard Manuel, tripping piano.
Yeah, I mean, piano and organ at the same time.
Oh, yeah, Garth.
And then they're Canadians writing him out the night they drove Old Dixie down.
Well, that's the druggie. He's Arkansas.
Incredible. I love that.
They're a mix. You know, I'm kidding.
Yeah, great.
And then
great
Don.
And you know, Canadians, it's okay. They're pretty good.
There's some, like, musicals, West Side Story, and Hair, and Man of La Mancha, and Camelot. That stuff was playing, too, so.
It's playing. You didn't pick it. Can you remember the first record you bought, a 45 or album?
My parents, my uncle were giving me a steady diet, I was just absorbing. But I remember I noticed that all my favorite songs on those Peter, Paul, Mary records were written by someone named B. Dylan. And they had a song called Bob Dylan's Dream. And I was like, oh, Bob Dylan, who's this guy? I was like 8 or 9 years old. I go, who's Bob Dylan?
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked for Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits, and it doesn't get much better.
Oh, yeah, there was two versions.
The first one.
Yeah, there was two volumes. One was a double album, one was a single.
And that was amazing. That was maybe the first... Of course, once I got that first Beatle...
So you asked for it.
I asked for it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
What about school?
Well...
Were you in the band?
Yeah.
Okay.
I lived outside the country, and I went to some kind of strange high schools.
Yeah.
By the time I was 15 or 16, all I was thinking about was music. I was completely...
But you were in the school?
I played in the school band, sure. But, little taste of jazz.
But what'd you do? Did you do piano?
Yeah, and I had a jazz band. They had a jazz ensemble, which is about 20, 30 guys. We had a great teacher.
Because I'm always thinking marching band when I think of high school. But
John Magruder at Uni High was an old bebop guy, and he knew everything. He's a mean...
Uni, so by this time you're on the West.
Yeah, this is... so. And I played in the junior high band, and that guy loved Doc Severinsen. So there was always a jazz ensemble in addition to marching.
Sure.
That's probably what the teacher really wanted to do.
Yeah, the football team, they need the marching.
So I played some bassy, played some of that stuff. Bassy arrangements of Christmas carols. But you know what? I wasn't good at it. I mean, my background, they weren't playing jazz in the home, and jazz did not come natural to me. I appreciate it all.
The piano lessons you were getting were more
classical music. Yeah. I played a lot of Chopin, a lot of Beethoven.
You started composing, too,
a lot
right?
of Bach, yeah.
Because... when I was looking back over the shows we did with him, Brother Matt, I played a whole piece 4 years ago he did called The Ark. And
you played that?
Thank the whole you, thing. Sir. Took the whole third hour, almost. It was a big piece. And I remember you giving it to me and telling me the story that this thing was teenage work.
Wrote it when I was
a teenager. Never got realized until, 30 or 40 years later. Right?
Well, that was written in 1975. It's 47 minutes long.
Yeah.
And I worked for 2 years with getting a band to play it, and it kept falling apart, and then punk rock happened. And, that music was obsolete. So, but it took such a 3 years of my life as a teenager.
Sure.
So I went back to look at it in 2012, and I was like, what would happen if I record? First of all, it's going to take so much work. But, I realized that I've been producing now for years, and I was like, well, what if I produce this and somehow bring it up to date? I'm not afraid of complexity. I'm not afraid of odd meters. It's not that. There's somehow getting out, and I didn't rewrite it or anything. I just production is sort of a subtle thing. It's just realizing in a way where the things that I might have found offensive at the time, which as far as bloat or pretentiousness, and try to get a little bit of humor and a little more. And then still, in the end, it was me doing a favor to that kid that spent all that time working.
Right.
You know, it was me. It was like if I was like this. I was 16, and this old guy came in and he said, "Okay, kid, we love your music. We're gonna record your album.
Yeah.
But we're gonna use instruments from the future." I mean, it would have been like my dream come true. So I made my dream come true, and I don't know if it's...
Usually, unless you're really lucky, you end up having to fucking do that.
You have to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't really shortcut.
No, and it was...
Okay, let's get to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Galatea.
Okay.
What does it mean?
A piece from the old days.
No, this is new.
Well, actually, the myth you told me is from Greek days.
It's a Greek myth. The book, it's based on a book that was written in 1995. I finished it. It was 21 minutes long, and I thought of you. Because there's not a lot of guys out there doing operas. You know, and this is a little bit of an operetta. Yes. It's some, not,
a quick
not,
one.
It's not the biggest theme.
Yeah, it's not Tawny. It's like quick one, if you know the who.
It's a small theme, but a lot is... We can talk about a lot of stuff from this, from looking at closely at a smaller theme.
Yeah, yeah.
And the theme in this book is artificial intelligence and neural networks. And what is consciousness? What is the difference between a human being and a machine? And
how could the Greeks be talking about that?
Well, the Greek myth, he builds a statue, and he teaches, he loves the statue so much that she comes to life,
yeah.
And then he teaches her. Yeah. You know, it's like where we take this inanimate object that comes to life, and then we teach it. Now, you mentioned Frankenstein before. Nobody taught Frankenstein. He learns just looking through the window, listening to a family, and he learns, he becomes completely educated that way. But in this, they have this neural network, and they want to try to get it to pass the Turing test. You know what the Turing test is? Where you cannot tell whether you're talking to a computer or not.
That's right.
So they read in all the world's literature, and it comes back with word salad. And then very slowly, the word salad starts to form into things where it almost sounds like it's making sense. And there's this whole, are we projecting on this thing, or is this thing actually... Now, this sounds very dry, but it's also wrapped in a very, very deep and personal love story, the breakup story of his relationship for 10 years. So there's these parallels between this, and the author, whose name is Richard Powers, the lead character in the story is also named Richard Powers. So there's this meta, you know...
It's like we were talking about Dante.
He
talks in other voices where he like looks at the camera.
Yeah.
Dear reader.
Exactly.
Dear reader.
Right, which is...
But other times, the pilgrim. And
yes.
It's Virgil. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay, we're going to listen to the second part. Forgive us what we are, love what we wanted to be.
Oh, To the snow. A squirrel skin parka with wolverine ruff. Nothing is permanent, not even permanent waves. In the land of the day after tomorrow, we save what we save. Waiting on the winds, tides, the weather. thin strings of paper. Gathering willow twigs from along the creeks, teaching tricks of trapping a fox, bending willow ribs by chewing them soft, crazy pussy, waxing them soft, shaved and waxen, waned in whacking them off, almost lost in the broad shoulders, she buried her head and sunk her eyes, drilling holes through brittle shells to illustrate stories in the snow. Come here, on the thin streams of paper. And happy summer has come around, and I long to be tired in your arms.
I'm driving my car tonight. Where I'm going, I don't know. Only one thing's enough for sure, that my eyes have seen too much crap, and my ears have listened too many bullshit. Today I'm persuaded that life sucks like never before. But now I'm ready. Yeah, now I'm ready. I hope the rain will overflow the world. I hope the rain will overflow the world. I hope the rain will overflow the world. And I'll be here with my guitar. And I'm still driving my car tonight. Where I'm going, I don't know. I hope that the truck runs off me, or a cold falls over my car. Cause I'm too much coward to kill myself or to live. But now I'm ready. I hope the rain will overflow the world. I hope the rain will overflow the world. I hope the rain will overflow the world. And
Watt from Pivo Show. We heard the second part of Galatea. Forgive us what we are, love what we wanted to be, Paul Rosser. Then Thurston Moore, brand new, Smoke of Dreams, has a new album too. Tenko, the Time Drawers. That's what I was thinking of when I was hearing your pieces. I know she does like, she's like Petra with the voice, but I was thinking it. But I was thinking it with the wrong pronunciation. Fucked up. Guided by Voices, Fever Pitch, Bob, his 100th album.
Wow.
Only 100 more.
Oh, Lord. Incredible.
And this one's a double album. It's the first time he collaborates. After 100 albums, maybe, yeah. Give the band some. Okay. Kim Bohm, Kester, out of Berlin. Brand new, Ina Klein and Match Music. Grandpa's Ghost, brand new out of St. Louis. Come here. Nels Klein, his double album that he did here at Royce Hall with Strings. Wow. You Notice, Frog Woman with I Hope. And these are guys, you know, when you look at Italy, it's a boot.
Mm-hmm.
You see between the heel and the toe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that area there, huh? Between Abari and Calabria. These guys are... have a wedding. They want me to come and play some Stooges song for the wedding. And I've been kind of by those parts. I was in Bari. That's it. And, but it's hard to get this out. I'm going to take them 3 days. Yeah.
Land of the Frog Woman.
Frog Woman. That's the name of the band. But I hope. So it's so kind of those guys to invite me for that. So I'll probably be the oldest dude. The vecchio. And then Marco Serrato. Yeah, he's in Spain, so I said, Serrano, huh? Two bars. With Alto Padre, the higher father, and he's a bass man. And so, much respect. Not Alto Bajo. So, that's what actually we're called. If you look at the old maps, we're Alto, California.
Yeah.
Right. Northern.
Alto, Alto, California.
Yeah.
Yeah, that got thrown away. Huh? Yeah. Okay, and now finally from Holland, Automatic Sam with So Long in E Minor. Yeah. Right? E, there's a Wire song, right? The low down, he goes, because that's where you play the blues.
Open string.
With an accent, you know, blues. Colin Newman, you can never accuse of having U.S. affectation with his voice. Okay, back to the story. So, you used a really old story that was retold by a science fiction kind of guy in the 90s?
He's really not. He's not a science fiction writer at all. In fact, I think you would love his writing. And I would.
But I was big into science fiction as a boy. Ray Bradbury?
Sure.
Incredibly huge.
Great writer. And
there's
going to be
stuff like Wicked. Something Wicked This Way Comes?
Yes, it's.
There's not a lot of robots.
No, it's beautiful.
Spacemen, right?
No, I agree. There's going to be spoiler alerts if we talk too much about this, but I really encourage people to read the book or really read any...
His name
is Richard Powers.
Richard Powers.
He was a scientist before he became a writer, but he met a teacher that inspired him with literature. So every time he writes a book, they're heavily researched. There's another book that he wrote right before this one, which is called The Gold Bug Variations. Is about it's got all the background of when they were discovering genetics and the human genome and how genetics works. And so when you read this book, you get this incredible dose of background. It reminds me of Tosh's also in a way.
Tosh's.
There's some writers. So I read another book recently by his called Orfeo, where the lead character is a composer, a 20th century composer, and he gives you this immense knowledge of 20th century composition. So,
well, was it Orpheus the Greatest Singer?
Yeah, it's called that, Orfeo. So this book, the science in it is AI technology.
Yeah.
And the neural network.
Is there any scariness? I say that because I read something from Mr. Hawking. Who's
Stephen Hawking?
He said, watch out for aliens you don't want to meet, and watch out for AI.
Well, if you would like, I can recommend a fantastic blog called Wait But Why. And do a search for Wait But Why AI. And there's a wonderful, very large overview of all the different thoughts about AI. And it's something that nobody thinks about, but there is a possibility that we're about to create a new form of life that will outstrip us almost instantaneously by thousands and by infinite amount. I mean, and it could be right around the corner.
Do you remember Forbidden Planet?
Yeah.
Robbie the Robot?
Yeah.
But then there's... the girl is a... Right? Total invention.
Well, this...
And there's a lot of Star Treks with this theme.
The problem with all the science fiction is I don't think people quite appreciate that once... It's taken us... a billion years for our genes to create a human being. Once an artificial intelligence becomes conscious, it is able to genetically engineer itself instantaneously in split seconds. So the problem is that, you know, in the Terminator, we fight back against things.
Yeah.
The truth is, if this were to actually occur, there's not any fighting back. All you can hope is that they have some reverence for their creators, because they control, and an artificial intelligence loose on the internet controls everything and is thinking a trillion times faster than any human being is thinking. So that little contest is over. But that's not really the emphasis of this book. The emphasis of this book is, what is it to be a human? And the two schools are, no machine could ever be what a human is, have compassion, feel love, create art. And the other school is, well, maybe consciousness is not that unique. Maybe consciousness is a very naturally occurring thing in nature. That's the one thing scientists are completely unable to make any headway on. What is consciousness?
Yeah, let's focus it. What if we just apply it to music? Why isn't there a program that can just knock out hit songs?
We are still in the infancy. We do not have computers that are moving faster than us, that have more disposal. They're getting
You would think there's only so many, right? You know the thing about the 10,000 monkeys and the typewriter. There's only a finite set of options to make a pop song. You would think that they could get some kind of program.
Well, there is a program that did a Beatles simulation that is absolutely hilarious. It is hilarious because a lot of those Beatles songs are so surreal and make no sense. And but the thing is, the reason is that there has to be a consciousness directing.
Okay.
Directing. Unless you're John Cage.
But you were just saying, what is consciousness?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, John Cage says, take the consciousness out.
Yeah, of course.
So a computer can create that.
Okay.
But can it create a pop song? I personally think pop songs and rock songs are a very, very complex high art form. I think
But you know, some of them only have one part.
Yes.
Like, for example, Harry Nilsson, Lyman, the Coconut.
Yeah, sure.
Right at C7.
Or every song.
I think a Land of
Social Distortion song. They only the same.
But I mean, really popular songs.
Yeah.
Land of a Thousand Dances.
Yep.
I think that's one part.
And it's a mysterious thing that makes something like that is so simple.
American Woman. I think that's got one part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. But that's mysterious and wonderful.
Yeah.
Aren't there Minutemen songs with only one part?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
They weren't that popular. Yeah, Joe McCarthy's goes, it's like one fucking part.
Well, the thing is, human beings...
Actually, if you added more parts, you would probably rob the focus of the majority.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a technique, the simple.
Yeah, it's a technique.
The minimalism. But
blues, right?
One of the tropes is human beings hold their consciousness in their brains in such high esteem.
Yeah, of course.
And yet...
It's all centric.
So in one of the lyrics I say, as I was walking to St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives. You know that?
Yeah.
You know that? And then another line is, brother, sisters have I none, but that man's father is my father's son. You know these little word games. So people think that their brains are thinking clearly, are very logical, are full of compassion, are these wonderful things. And one of the ideas is, you're not that advanced, really.
No, you're reciting.
And it's possible that a consciousness could develop in a different, within these neural networks of a computer.
Okay.
Conceivably.
Okay,
so one of my challenges was to take instruments and turn them into voices. And you'll hear that throughout this piece. There'll be an instrument and it will sound like it's talking. And that's my little analogy for an inanimate object.
I heard in a classical orchestra, the oboe is supposedly the human voice.
Well, you know, the talk box on the guitar?
It's that frequency.
I'm doing a lot of that stuff. I can add vowels, and it's very eerie to have these instruments. I mean, you know, Frampton kind of ruined it, but I'm not doing
it. Actually, though, he got it from Joe Walsh.
Right. I'm hopefully using it.
And it's such an easy idea. You turn the mouth into a, because there's just a speaker with a tube, and it's putting the sound in your mouth, so you can modulate it by. We're at the end of the first hour, April 25, 2017, Dishwap Peter's Show, special guest Paul Rosser. Hold tight for hour two. April 25, 2017, it's the second hour, the Watt for Pedro Show.
You don't even have to buy lightning presence. We don't have to kiss, you don't even have to mention certain few things. I'll pay for your drugs, yeah, I'll even buy you a sex tape. But please keep me near you, cause people like you make me sick. People like you make me sick, like you sick, you make me sick in my stomach.
queen.
Humanity, each lifeline defines a sea of life. One by one slips from conscience, from sanity, nothing more endearing than holding on to strife. Cloudburst of confusion, sunburst of clarity, lightning of passion, sparkle of wit, kindness and humility from the ears, still a personal intelligence in those eyes. Warm and loved, angry, confused, alone, from star to star of memory in the night zone. Guided and lost, contact through aggravation, recognition and love which is new every day. Lonely cry to a universe slipping past, joined in the group's chorus, safe at last, drifting, unchained, a long last sigh till joining the chorus in the sky.
bitches on my thoughts, I will smoke weed. Gotta get them done, I just can't lie in bed. I got better things to do than hang out with the living dead.
Show start off the second hour with the third part of Galatea. H.
Yeah.
Paul Ross. The Nervous Gender. People Like You. I think it was the album. Are you on the album? Don's on the album.
I'm just on the
just a little bit, right?
The six song thing out of Target that they did. No,
there's this album that's yeah. Studio that Don. I know Don's a big part of.
Yeah. I was only in there for a minute. Okay.
By that time you were out.
Yeah.
You know, I was a huge fan.
I was a huge fan.
I know.
But it was a hard band to be in.
Yeah, the personalities and...
I mean, I was just a naive little kid. They were on to...
Well, you were coming out of the Screamers, right?
I am still a naive little kid. Some stuff just is too much for me.
And I finally realized that the Tupperwares were just a singing group. There was somebody behind them called Telepaths, and that's where Duce was.
Yeah. Telepaths. I met those guys.
They were
too.
Seattle band. Well, Tupperwares were Seattle, too. And also that Melba Toast dude, that's Tommy.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't fucking put it together. You know, you don't know. And it wasn't that long. But Things changed quicker in those days, huh?
It's weird.
And one of the guys is gone, Gerardo.
Yep.
And he was kind of the one of the main cats. Yep. Michael's still around, though, right?
Yeah, I've seen him recently. Michael's had a lot of health problems. Edward is very involved, and they still do shows. But it's
as Nervous Gender?
Yes, but
wow.
It's now on the computer.
Okay.
And the thing about Nervous Gender was it was like, nah, they're playing with their fingers. All the modulations are out of time.
Yeah, so it just, no sequence.
I said that this is a, yeah, no sequencer. Yeah. This was an invented rhythm that I never heard before. It's called, to me, the avalanche rhythm. It's like the rhythm of 1,000 rocks rolling down a hill.
So they get going and going.
So it feels like you're running. But, but isn't that innovative?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
yeah,
is brilliant.
Well, I think Kraftwerk was like that. I don't think they had the drummers play sequencers in the old days. It was just them playing synthesizers by hand.
But there was something going.
I would see them play like sliders. And one guy had sticks, little electric sticks.
Yeah.
One guy was like playing sliders.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, they didn't have. Kraftwerk, I think, was a little different.
I'd be curious to know what their actual setup was.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
What other electronic bands had two drummers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Both guys left. I think they call it Ralphworth now. And they're all on synthesizer. And it's all sequences.
Well, someone said they had seen that. They played recently at the Hollywood Bowl. And someone said it was fantastic. I was never a huge fan of that.
You see, I was. I got disappointed as it got.
I'm a romantic. I'm not a huge fan of Devo for the same reason. I don't
think they used the last thing. I think they had a really good drummer.
I mean content, not.
Oh.
I mean the content. I'm not in. I am a romantic.
Okay.
Not. I'm less of a classicist.
They were at Kent State. You know, they started that band after they saw the shooting.
Yeah. I like those. I think it was
that's
amazing.
When they stopped being hippies. And I also heard about a big Captain Beefheart show in Akron that everybody was at. The Pretender Lady, the Peru Boo, Devo guys. It was like. Yeah, it was really intense.
Yeah.
The Silent Spiral from Ardo, they're out of Bologna. Ghost Wolves with I Got Money. LHS, Blown Asshole. Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin, out of Madison with Chorus. The Mailman out of Torrance, I think friends, young friends of Kurt Schellenbach, he'd been working with in the labor camp.
Mm-hmm.
Living Dead and Annoying. Total McDonough's. Yokita and Brother Steve McKay, one of the last things he recorded, number one. And finally, Engineer, Galatea, Paul Rosser. So H, an engineer, what are these two parts?
H is the name of the implementation. It's about the fifth implementation of the neural network, and it's the one that actually wakes up. And H is the name, they call her Helen when she apparently begins to have a consciousness. Engineer, there's two characters. There's the writer who is telling the story, and then there's the scientist at this university who is making the neural networks.
Yeah.
And they have a little rivalry and hatred going on. So the writer calls the scientist engineer as a put-down, like, you're not some theorist, you're just an engineer. And the scientist calls the writer Marcel. That's his way of...
because there's a part called Marcel. I think it ends with Marcel.
Right, as in Marcel Proust. So he's like, it's their little rivalry. So
I have a small connection. Twice the Stooges stayed at a hotel in Normandy, part of France, that Marcel Proust lived in for 7 years.
Have you read his stuff?
Well, they're pretty wordy.
I haven't got into them yet.
Remembrance and...
I
was a younger man, I tried to wade through it. I mean, there's a buttload of writing.
I'm reading Henry James right now, and that's some tough going a little bit, too.
He's kind of in the same boat.
A little bit. But I'm reading Wings of the Dove right now because they
say that... He spent a lot of time in Europe. He's a Boston guy. You know who's a big fan? Raymond Pettibone.
Of Henry James.
Yeah.
Well, I had read William James. I'd read a lot of William James, who I'm a huge fan of. He's a psychologist.
Yeah.
And he wrote Pragmatism, and one of the great American philosophers, really, whose writing still is kind of inarguable, despite Wittgenstein and everything, postmodernism and Foucault and everything else. I still think William James was really onto something. And they're brothers.
Yeah.
They're two of the most... And people told me William James was the greatest psychologist and William James was the greatest writer and Henry James was the greatest psychologist. So they reversed. But I wanted to give Henry a chance and he's very interesting. But Engineer, it's so hard, Mike, to write music on what might be tend to be dry subjects. You know, I don't want this piece to be all theory and dry. And I have this big hole in the middle where I want to write something about the scientist. And so I'm looking at the lyrics. And I'm like, what is the what is the heart of this guy? But what it is his wife, who he's married to for 40 years, has severe Alzheimer's, and every day he's this hard ass guy,
yeah.
You know. And but at the root of all of this is every night he goes and visits his wife, who doesn't recognize him.
Yeah.
And I extrapolated that to all human beings everywhere. When there you see these people doing these terrible things, there is some tragedy below them. Usually. I'm not saying there aren't completely vile people with no explanation. But very generally. And, you know, having had kids, you have a little kid and they're doing something just terrible. They're, like, beating on each other or something. And you're like, hey, stop it. And you separate them. And they're being bad. But you don't love them any less. You love that kid just as much, even when they're doing something terrible. And you see a guy whose kid commits crimes, and he's still trying to protect his son because there's still that love.
Yeah.
That's a strange.
Well, you know, I did 125 months with Stooges, and Ig sometimes, you know, we're having the debriefing after the gig, and he's talking about the drummer and the bass player. So you're right there with him. I mean, some dudes. It's not a disrespect. In fact, Scotty's son started talking about the singer. It's like, you're in the room with the guy. But
it's also the poet.
You know, he just turned 7, you know, and I just rapped with him. In fact, he wanted one of my basses. I want one, Mike! So I had him one set.
I saw your spiel on the bass, Mike. Congratulations on the bass. That was delightful.
5 or 6 years of work.
Delightful to watch.
Well, if your name was going to be on it, you know.
Yeah.
I remember first telling me him and Lee's, it was one conference call with the Fender guy, like a voice. You got to go back and forth, right? I respect these guys. But anyway,
you're talking
where
about
was he? Had so many guys in his band. Maybe it was the drummer or was the bass, you know? And look at his journey.
Yeah.
And so maybe it wasn't a disrespect. So. When I read engineer, that's what I kind of thought that's what it was about. But I didn't know it was being used as a put down. With Ig, I know it wasn't a put down.
Yeah.
It was like, this is the man's job. But I value this man's job.
I know
job.
Engineer in your lexicon is one of the highest.
Yeah, or something like that.
It is.
Or chief or sailor. Chief or something. Engineer, yes. You have respect for that man's work.
These are these effete intellectuals that are putting a theorist above an engineer. But
over an ability. But whatever, look, humans get into these conflicts, like you talk about, and hopefully there's a bigger love, just like you with the sons. And you know what? It's time for Brother Matt to bring it.
Oh, cool.
The spin cycle. Yeah.
Einen recht schönen guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Ich begrüße Sie recht herzlich zu unserem heutigen Fernsehprogramm und wünsche Ihnen einen recht guten Vergessen.
Natur erhört mir übel. Und die Arztromane hab ich mit 12 schon hinter mich gebracht. Mann, bin ich belesen, ey. Und die Erfrischungswaffeln sind ausgelaufen. Und diese Schafschokolade macht ein Fett down, Fett down, Fett down, Fett down. Doch ich schalt die Glotte an. Happiness, Flutsch, Flutsch, Wand von Glotz von Astaffel zu dünn. Ja, ich kann mich gar nicht entscheiden, ist alles so schön bunt hier. Ich glotz TV. Ich glotz TV. Ich glotz TV. Ich glotz TV. Ich glotz TV.
I've been abused, I've been scorned. abgepackt in der Limbo. Lord, this is a mean old world. Oh, Lord, this is a mean old world. Oh, don't care how they treat.
Someone to hear your prayer. Someone who cares. you may run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty gonna put you down. Go to jail, that lonesome liar. Go to jail, that midnight rider. Tell again, that rebel, that backbiter. Tell them, God Almighty gonna cut them down. Thanks, God Almighty, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. Coming down on my bended knee, talking to my man from Galilee. When my God spoke and he spoke so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angel feet. He put one hand upon my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. Go and tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the end of the gremlin, the backbiter. Tell him God Almighty gonna cut them down. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. You may run on. You may throw your rock and hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. Sure as God made the day and the night, I'll let you do in the dark, I will be brought to the light. You may run and hide, slip and slide, try to take them off from your neighbor's eye. Sure as God made the rich and the poor, you run the reapers just what you sow. You may run on for a long time, run on for a long time.
Spin cycle, what was it that made you do what you just did to us?
Our guest got me into one of the chapters that we haven't touched on is Nina Hagen. So I got into some Nina Hagen and discovered this Righteous album. I didn't know, with all those cool blues and gospel cuts.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Paul Rossler was essential in making that happen.
The man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That but he goes vision. Back, he was in her band.
Yeah.
Late 70s,
right? 1980, she found me.
Cool.
Took me to Europe, and I got to see the world.
Righteous. Well, I dug that album. That's a righteous one.
Oh, well, that's a good reason to be inspired.
Yeah.
It's been a second hour, April 25, 2017, Dish Wap Peter Show, Brother Matt, our guest, Paul Rossler. Hold tight for hour three.
Yeah.
April 25, 2017, it's the third hour, the Wap for Pedro Show.
Thank you. were bathed in eyes. I couldn't feel my poor heart. Faced in the mirror was some other guy's, and man, he was falling apart. Don't go shopping for a new light. Turn a sharp eye on the one you got. My feast of pleasures was a dead dog. The situation was drastic.
The winner of 41 It lasted oh so long. It lasted through the spring. We all was weakened in the frost, frozen in our fear, paralyzed by loss. And from my window still I see children in the street, the only ones who laugh. And oh, to be like them again, innocent and free, untied from all this greed.
The boats arrive with force of hope. I try and try, but I can't seem to pry my mind from the gutter. 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 Gutter brain. Push gutter. Filthy thoughts. Gutter. Dirty hands working on digging nails. Let your fingers do the walking. 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 Let your fingers do the walking.
Every time I go on tour, I'm asking why. Do I need to spend my time with those drunk guys? Booking shows for unknown one-man band like mine. I don't know why. Every time I leave my town, I'm feeling down. I'm alone with all those tapes, but I like to drive to a shitty city where I would like to die. To die. To die, to die. Returning home, this is where I want to live now. I really need to sleep. Returning home, this is where I want to live now. I got a road to hit. Every time I start to play, I feel alive. I feel like Joe Strummer, John Doe, or Mike Watt. I see myself in a mirror when I was a child. And I'm a child. I'm a child, I'm a child.
Returning home.
Returning home, this is where I want to live now.
Pedro Show. We started off the third hour with the fifth part of Galatea, Graceful Degradation, Paul Ross. And this is like 5-6 through the piece. So,
what happens is an AI is beginning to appear to show can of consciousness. The author reads in the news. This is spoiler alert here. I would love everyone who listens to the piece to read the book, but the author reads in the news, the world news for the last 5 years, and the computer digests it and says goodbye and turns herself off, and that's called graceful degradation. So maybe the clearest indication of consciousness is the ability to commit suicide. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Oh, like you're right.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted...
We have laws against it, right?
I know, crazy. You know, I wanted to have a piece where not too much happened. Because I feel like there's really intense ideas and it gets very wordy. And I always am writing stuff where it's like, event. And so I just wanted to let...
Well, you were interpreting a guy's book, too, so that gave you some footing.
It was interesting. I'd never done that.
More grounded.
Yeah. But I wanted just a piece of music that just had space.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was going to write words for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way I write words, sometimes I'll go, blah, blah, and then I'll go back afterwards and go, what did he say there? And this time I just left it.
Yeah.
I just left it. It's just voiceless. And but it's just a time. It's just
all the instruments. You said you were trying to get voices out of the instruments.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And in that case, the voice is an instrument. So.
Yeah, yeah. Basho with the Feng Shui Hamburg.
Yeah, cool.
Blood Quartet out of Barcelona. One of the guys from Mars. No way. God, 70s.
Wow.
You know, when we talk about guys from the old days, really, or the less young days. There's no more old days. There's just less young days. Okay. Open Kimono with the Tossie of a Dead Duck. Payroll Union. The Winter 41. Yeah, I love young people writing about the Winter 41.
It's incredible.
Out of Sheffield, which is the two big bands, I think, are Cabaret Voltaire and Def Leppard. Maybe, who's the other one?
Fertile artistic. Fertile artistic.
Okay, brand. Phoenix Brown with Gutterfinger, great mashup. Yeah. Take Black Flag.
Mm. Oh, cool, cool.
That's something that's totally engineered.
Yeah,
the mashup. Some of that stuff is pretty creative.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah, Senor Al out of London, South London, with Grind Them Heels on Down, Seb and the Roddix out of Lyon, France, with Home. Now, this last part is called Marcel, and this is the cat, right?
This piece is actually was a somewhat of a found object because I wrote the music for this. And I wasn't going to create this piece, so I just one day I just tried to write some words to it about breaking up with my girlfriend or something. And it was a failure. It was one take. I didn't like it. When I went back to assemble the whole piece into one piece, I thought it was perfect. As a standalone, it was very weak. But and that's why it's so interesting writing a big piece. Do you find this? They're cumulative.
Yeah, sure.
They're cumulative. You lay these seeds that come to fruition at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I you know,
it needs that context of the wholeness.
Yeah, and I really love. I have so much of an ability to control everything with digital. Mike, that is so rude.
I know.
Your leash is howling.
It's what I got to do the spiel. Sorry, people. That's so fucked up. You know, it's hardly
leave it.
So it hardly ever rings. But back to your point. About how this thing that you might have thought was a discarded...
It's so easy to control every single aspect of music, and I'm always looking for the subconscious. It's easy for me to rule out the subconscious because I've got this digital control over everything. So when an accident happens or when something juxtaposes in a way that is unexpected, that's one of my... gifts is to be awake and aware enough.
Gotcha.
When I'm producing somebody, when somebody does something by accident, and I go, wait a second, listen back to that. Now, usually they won't do it. That's not what I meant to do.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on, please, do you hear what you just
did?
But sometimes...
They're second-guessing themselves.
Yeah. So I really believe in being really present in this process, you know? I learned so much recording all these people, you know.
Well, let's listen to Marcel.
Sure.
Last part. Galatea.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. We heard the conclusion, Galatea, Marcel. And then from Terracina, not Roma, Noto Ingola, from Manlio, Maresca, and Manual for Errors. Okay, when you got it done. Versus when you started, you were inspired by a book. And then you finally had the piece. In fact, it involved some pieces that weren't even going to be related, right? But you put it together. And when you heard it, was it like both hands on your hips? Was it like Sugar Bowl? Or was it like Teapot with one hand out pointing? Like, look at that. I mean, because this happens to me. I get surprised, like, whoa. And you were just saying in the last time we were on the air in the spiel, you like the surprises. You're trying to create situations that can provide those. Because you're so used to this control part, it kind of wears you out, right?
I wanted it to be so great, so I don't know if you ever have this, but sometimes I'm doing the final bounce of the mix, and I'm just like, yeah, just didn't make it again. One just fell short one more time. But then I listened to it again the next day, and, you know, because I was living with it for months.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I was living with it for months, and I felt that there was enough. There were ideas that I thought were important. There were ideas that were thought important, and I sent it to the author. I never even thought of that. This author
James Powers.
Richard Powers. He's like nominated for Pulitzer, and he's like one of our great writers. And I never thought he would.
Where's he live?
I think he's at Stanford now.
Okay.
He's at Stanford.
Palo Alto.
Teaching. Okay. Or maybe teaching, maybe artist in residence. And it was like I was almost done and I was going, you know, I actually ought to contact him because I use a couple lines from the book. He should know about it, you know?
Okay.
And I sent it to him and I sat around for a week on pins and needles, you know?
For the reply?
Because I cared. I mean, I don't care really about everybody, but I care that the writer. And it's a very personal book, despite its sort of esoteric scientific side of it. It's really painfully about his life also. And he got back to me, and he wrote me just, like, the most beautiful, beautiful reply. And, you know, for me, that was my Grammy. That was my Grammy.
Wow.
You know, because...
Well, in a way, you guys did a collab.
We did a collab. And he was so generous in what he said, yeah. You know? And he said, one of the things he said, it was so interesting because the work, it stands alone. If you haven't read the book,
yeah.
You don't know what's happening in the music.
Sure, sure.
And, but he and I know exactly.
Right.
And not only that, the book is pretty autobiographical. So it's his life. And, you know, and he said that I had captured, you know, a lot of the emotions that were going on in his life. And man, so... So I felt like I want to give it its chance. You know, the difference between it and this piece and in the book is the AI in my piece becomes very wise very quickly. In his piece, she's still sort of a baby. She develops a consciousness. She's beginning to see things, but she's very unformed. And I feel like that was 1995, and we're 20 years later with computers. And my computer, my Helen, in my piece, starts saying some very, very wise things, you know, that human beings could learn from. So
I remember in 95 us talking about, will we ever be able to move music across the internet? Remember we were talking about those ideas?
Yeah.
Now it's like, suck it.
Yeah.
I collaborate with people I don't even meet.
Yeah.
And I remember the night... That's only 22 years ago, but man, in a way, it was another time.
The egalitarian revolution that we were talking about and that we sort of were there at the beginning of really happened.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's you. Maybe it's harder to make a living. You got to work really hard at it, but I think it's great that things are free. I think lots of things should be free. I want the same thing that happened to the music industry, where you can hear all the music you ever want for free. I want that to happen to the food industry and to the healthcare industry and the water and the connectivity. I want one industry after another, transportation, to topple the way the music industry did so that...
You don't think in a way the music industry went back to what it was?
Yes.
If you look at the whole history of music, wasn't a lot of it performed? And then for 100 years they got to put out a piece of medium and sell it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It kind of went back.
It was people playing for each other.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It kind of went back.
Which I tell people want me to go see shows, and honestly, the experience of making music with people is so much more intense and so much deeper than standing in the audience. And, you know, you give them the best advice when you tell them start your own band, because however wonderful a time they're having watching you, they're going to have a more transcendent experience if they give the effort, the sacrifice, the work of doing your own music pays off and you walk through life differently. It's like it's like therapy. It's like exercise. You know, it's like learning.
Paul, you know, it's really great because I don't have to ask you the last question. What's your advice? Because that is great fucking advice.
It is. There's
from
no
heart. I want to thank you so much for coming aboard and bringing
awesome conversation.
Approach and any other stuff you come. What studio are you at downtown?
Kitten Robot. Track us down
and
on Facebook.
People on the internet want to know about what you're doing. Is there a place they can go?
You know, you can find me on Facebook. Kitten Robot has its own site. It's a good way to contact me.
What's the URL?
Kitten Robot on Facebook. And then I you can email me, Ross. I'm pretty easy to find.
Okay.
And I put all my music up on SoundCloud, Paul Rosser SoundCloud. That's all the stuff. You can just listen to it. You can't download it.
PAULROESSLER.
Yeah, you can listen to Galatea there if you want to get into that.
Thanks so much. So
thank you, Mike.
All the things that you have done, Mike.
All the things you've done.
Brother Matt,
pleasure.
Always your essential Aiden in a bit. Much grateful for it. Probably be in a month before I get to see you again, because I got to sally forth.
Yeah,
I will return the bungee cord. We'll snap you back to Peter, and we'll be doing another show. Thanks again, Paul. Have a safe drive.
Great to see you.
Remember, we're politically little brothers. Geographically, we're a little separated. Big love. Everybody out there, it's been April 25, 2017 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry. Yeah.